Hello, it's the Cindy Scaries of Espresso Crime, and today's episode is about 10 of the longest trials. This episode includes murders, acquittals, mistaken identities, cults, and more, and then we'll finish the episode with current crimes. So let's get right into the list, starting things off. This one is going to be a bit of a timeline, it's just easiest to understand that way. So September 2006, Jody Arias and Travis Alexander meet at a work conference in Vegas. 5 months later, they start to date. After dating for 4 months, they broke up, but they did still occasionally see each other. A year later, on May 28, 2008, the police investigate a report that a gun was stolen from Jody's grandparents' home in California. The gun was never found. 4 days after that, Jody rented a car in Redding, California. A couple days later, she went to Utah to visit a former co-worker at his home, and then she returned the rental car in California. June 9th, Travis Alexander's body was found in the shower of his home in Mesa, Arizona. He suffered nearly 30 knife wounds. He was shot in the head, and his throat was slit. A palm print was found in, covered in blood at the crime scene. On June 19th, police questioned Jody about the murder, and in July 9th, on her 29th birthday, Jody is indicted on first-degree murder charges in his death. On September 11th, 2008, she pleads not guilty at her arraignment. On October 31st, 2008, the prosecutors filed a notice of intent to seek the death penalty for Jody. The murder trial began in January 2013 and it lasted just over 4 months. She testified that she killed Travis from self-defense, and she stated that he was abusive during their relationship. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So that trial was just over 4 months. Second on the list, Scott Peterson. This one is best covered as a timeline as well. September 24th, 2002, Lacey Peterson was reported missing from the Petersons' home in California. At this time, she was 8 months pregnant and married to Scott Peterson. 1 month later, a Fresno massage therapist came forward at a police news conference saying that she was having an affair with Scott Peterson. She said the affair began November 20th and he told her he was single. Fast forward to April 18th, 2003. So the attorney general at the time confirmed that the body found on April 13th on the shore of San Francisco Bay was the baby, and then the other body found the next day is Lacey. That same day, Scott Peterson is arrested in San Diego. He is pending at that time capital murder / double homicide charges, and he's held without bail. 2 days later, at his arraignment, he is charged with 2 felony counts of murder with premeditation and special circumstances. He pleads not guilty. June 1st, 2004, the trial starts. On November 12, 2004, Peterson is found guilty of first-degree murder for Lacey's death and second-degree murder for the baby. In 2005, he was sentenced to death after a 5-month trial. Fast forward, August 24, 2020, the California Supreme Court overturns the death sentence, and the next year, he is resentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Now, fast forward one more time, the LA Innocence Project says it has begun representing Peterson. The nonprofit says it is investigating the entire thing just based on maybe evidence they have and the claim of innocence and everything like that. And that came forward at the beginning of this year. So the initial trial was just over 5 months. And then, of course, his death sentence was reduced to life in prison. And then really interesting that January 2024, the LA Innocence Project says they are beginning to represent him. Really interested to see what unfolds from that. Number 3 on the list is O.J. Simpson. So again, this one's just a bit of a timeline. In 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman are found murdered outside of her home in L.A. June 17, 1994, he is arrested and charged with the murders. January 24th, 1995, The trial begins in L.A., October 3, 1995. The jury finds O.J. Simpson not guilty of the murders. February 4, 1997, a civil jury finds Simpson liable for the wrongful deaths and orders him to pay $33.5 million in damages. So the trial was 9 months, and this is definitely a case and trial that was famously, you know, covered and controversial. And since kind of writing this and everything, O.J. Simpson has passed away. Number four on the list, Charles Manson. So he was the leader of a cult known as the Manson family. And in 1969, he ordered his followers to commit a series of murders. The trial lasted just over 9 months, and he was initially sentenced to death, but his sentence was commuted to life in prison after California temporarily abolished the death penalty in 1972. From 1971 to 2017, he has been denied parole multiple times and remained in prison until his death in 2017. So that one's just like kind of more of a cult side of things, but still murder as well. And then that trial was just over 9 months, so pretty long. Number five on the list, Amanda Knox. So at the time, she was an American student studying abroad in Italy, and her roommate, Meredith Kircher, was found murdered in the apartment on November 1st, 2007. 5 days later, Amanda Knox, her boyfriend at the time, and another man were arrested. The trial took 11 months, and it found Amanda Knox and her boyfriend guilty of murder. They were sentenced to 26 and 25 years. 2 years later, their convictions are overturned on appeal, and they were released from prison. 2 years after being released, Italy's highest court overturns the acquittal and orders a new trial. On January 2014, they are found guilty again. However, in March 2015, the verdict is later overturned and they were acquitted again. So they were found not guilty. So that one, the first trial was 11 months, which is a really long time. And then it is just an absolute roller coaster, whiplash, guilty, not guilty, guilty, not guilty. And then now she is standing trial again, this time though for slander, for falsely accusing a bar owner of the killing. So this one I just find so interesting. One, it is such a long trial. And two, the guilty, not guilty, guilty, not guilty. Okay, moving on. Number six on the list. On August 20th, 1989, Lyle and Eric Menendez allegedly went into their parents' home armed with 12-gauge shotguns and killed their parents. Lyle, who was 21 at the time, called 911 saying, "Someone killed my parents." The police arrived and suspected a business-related motive due to the dad's work in the film industry. Following the funeral, the brothers spent a lot of the money. Their dad was really well off, and they used a lot of that money. They purchased Rolexes and started a business. So investigators discovered another motive. Perhaps it wasn't business related, and instead was it inheritance related, as they would be inheriting approximately $14 million upon their parents' death. In March 1990, 6 months after the double murder, the girlfriend of a therapist who the brothers had talked to revealed that they confessed to the killing during therapy, and there was a record of that confession. So on March 8th, 1990, Lyle was apprehended by Beverly Hills police outside of the home where his parents were killed. And 3 days later, Eric turned himself in after returning to LA from Israel. They were both held without bail and jailed separately. The brothers claimed self-defense, citing years of sexual and emotional abuse from their parents. The first trial was from July 20th, 1993 to January 28th, 1994. This was a mistrial. The second trial, August 23rd, 1995 to March 20th, 1996, both brothers were found guilty of first-degree murder with special circumstances. They received two consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. Between the two trials, it was 13 months of trials. This one is really interesting, and I know there's a couple they've been in like kind of a couple of the current crime segments lately. Just more information coming out, you know, are they truly guilty, things like that. But I wanted to include them here as well, just with that, you know, between the two trials, 13 months, really long time. Number 7 on the list, Jovito Pelperian. So from 2001 to 2006, he served as a military officer in various regions of the Philippines, where numerous cases of human rights violations were reported. In 2011, he went into hiding after being charged with kidnapping and serious illegal detention in connection with the disappearances of two student activists. In 2014, he was arrested. After a 3-year trial, he was found guilty of kidnapping and illegal detention and was sentenced to life in prison. This trial marked a very significant moment in the country's efforts to address human rights abuses committed by state actors. So this one, not only was that like such a significant moment in the Philippines, but also a really long trial, 3 years. Number 8 on the list, the McMartin preschool trial. So we did talk about this one. I can't remember exactly what episode, but if you're wondering like why does this ring a bell, we have mentioned it, but absolutely had to include it on the longest trial. So it was a highly publicized daycare sexual abuse case that unfolded in the 1980s. In 1983, Judy Johnson, a mother of one of the preschool's young students, reported to the police that her son had been sodomized by her estranged husband and also a McMartin teacher. In addition, there was some pretty unusual claims. The children alleged that witches were flying around the school, that they were taken, you know, on hot air balloons, and that there was also underground tunnels. Judy Johnson, the mother who initially reported the abuse, claimed that the mother of the teacher was involved in a satanic practice as well. So the pre-trial investigation took from 1984 to 1987, and the McMartin preschool trial involved two separate trials. So the first trial ran from July 13th, 1987 to January 18th, 1990. The second trial ran from May 7th, 1990 to July 27th, 1990. The case resulted in no conviction. All charges were dropped in 1990. By the end of the trials, at the time, it had become the longest and most expensive series of criminal trials in American history. So we talked about this case in further detail on episode 165. So I guess this is why I should just read my notes instead of trying to remember. I had it written down right there. Number 9 on the list, Robert Durst. He was a New York millionaire. He came into criminal attention when his wife disappeared in 1982, and he was a primary suspect. Later on, he was a suspect in the 2000 murder of his friend and then the 2001 killing of his neighbor. In 2003, he was acquitted of murdering his neighbor. Robert Durst was ultimately caught due to evidence uncovered during the filming of the HBO docuseries The Jinx. In the final episode, he is heard muttering to himself, unaware that his microphone was still on, "What the hell did I do? Kill them all, of course," is what he was heard saying in that hot mic moment. This incriminating statement raised suspicion, leading to his arrest in March 2015. The trial for the murder of Susan Berman started in 2020, and after just 2 days of testimony, it was suspended for 14 months due to COVID-19. It resumed in May 2021, and during the trial for the murder, the district attorney announced that his wife's disappearance had been reclassified as a murder and would be reinvestigated. Robert Durst was convicted of the first-degree murder of Susan Berman in September 2021. The jury found him guilty of shooting her execution cell in her Beverly Hills home in 2000 to prevent her from incriminating him in the 1982 disappearance of his wife. On October 22, 2022, state police in New York charged him with the murder of his wife. And then on January 10, 2022, he went into cardiac arrest at the General Hospital, and he did die there. So he was not able to be convicted for the murder of his wife, but he was charged. Number 10 on the list, ending it with a throwback trial. In 1895, Adolf Beck, a successful Norwegian businessman living in London, was arrested based on several women identifying him as their attacker. In January 1896, he stood trial for the assault but was acquitted due to lack of evidence. He was then arrested again from several women identifying him as their attacker. In January 1897, the second trial started, and he was sentenced to 7 years in prison with hard labor. After serving nearly 7 years in prison, he was released in 1904 when a man named Joseph Beck was apprehended for similar offenses, and he also looked very similar. So after serving almost 7 years, after two trials, he was finally acquitted, and it was just a very unfortunate case of, like, mistaken identity, essentially. So let's move on to current crimes. So officials released new information in Texas County on Monday, less than 24 hours after the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation recovered two dead bodies in the county and arrested four people who are facing kidnapping and murder charges over the weekend. All of this is coming 2 weeks after the disappearance of two Kansas women, Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, who disappeared in the Oklahoma Panhandle on March 30th. It's believed that the two Kansas women who vanished as they tried to pick up children for a birthday party 2 weeks ago were killed over a custody dispute involving a group of anti-government Oklahomans calling themselves God's Misfits. So that one we saw all over, you know, these two women that had been missing, and just so new information coming on that one. That will be probably a reoccurring current crime as new information continues to come up with it. Next, an alleged drug trafficker has been charged after being linked to bricks of cocaine that mysteriously washed up on an Australian beach in 2023 and earlier this year. So the unnamed 36-year-old man in Brisbane, Australia. So the suspect is alleged to be the head of a domestic crime network who directed the collection and distribution of multiple large imports of cocaine and other drugs. So he, according to the Australian Federal Police, the man imported more than 2 tons of cocaine into the country in the last year. The drugs are estimated to have a street value of $617 million. That is a lot of money. Really interesting how they just, like, washed up onto the beach. That's kind of interesting. Next current crime. So Baltimore prosecutors on Wednesday announced the arrest of a man in the cold case homicide of an off-duty Washington, D.C. police officer in 2017. So the officer was shot to death while sitting in a parked car with a woman who he had been dating, according to police. She was also shot, but she did survive. So the case sat unsolved for 5 years until detectives received a tip in early 2023 that led to charges against Deion Thompson, who's 24. So he was 18 at the time of the shooting, and he's currently serving time in a federal prison on an unrelated drug and gun charge. So just a bit of, I guess, almost closure and just an update in that crime that was unsolved for, you know, 5 years and now leading to the arrest. So next, lawyers for Brian Kohberger, who's the man accused of fatally stabbing four University of Idaho students in 2022, plan to use cell phone tower data to show he was not at the location where the murders occurred. That's according to a new court filing. So this case has been in the news so long, but I just thought that one was kind of interesting that they're now trying to use cell phone tower data. So if anything else big comes up from that, we'll definitely include that in our current crimes. And then the last update here, or our current crime, is in Concord, New Hampshire. So a man who spent more than 20 years in prison for murdering two married college professors back in 2001 has been granted parole. James Parker was 16 when he was part of a conspiracy with his friend that resulted in the deaths of those two professors. So now he's just shy of 40. He appeared before the state parole board years after pleading guilty to being an accomplice to second-degree murder and serving nearly the minimum term of his 25-year to life sentence. So he's been granted parole. So that wraps up today's episode on the longest trials and current crimes. Next week, we are going to do last words before executions. So thank you for listening. As I said, that wraps up today's episode. I will see you Sunday for more Sunday Scaries by Expressive Crime. Bye for now.